I'm already excited, man. I could have sat back there, Pastor Dave, and let you go. That was good. Yeah. Hey? Yeah. Anybody else excited to be in church tonight? Good, we got three people excited. All right, well, hopefully before this night's over, we'll have a few more people excited. Amen? Man, it is so good to think about the things that God has done in our lives, man. Where He's taken us and where we were and where He's brought us and where He's going to take us is exciting. Amen? You know, I'm not the same person that I was yesterday. Amen? I'm a day older. Praise God. I trimmed up my beard. It's a little shorter. A little different. But you know what? I've grown in Christ. Amen? Amen? Wow. We're going to have to shake this place up a little bit here tonight. Well, anybody need a good shaking? Well, tonight we're going to talk about God's promises. And I'm a little excited about this because I started getting in and started reading some scriptures today. And by the time I stopped, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to condense this down. We're not doing a 7-part epic miniseries, you know. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture of what God says and what God had said that He's going to do and what He's already done. Amen. Amen? And then as I'm preparing for this message, and I'm thinking, I'm like, man, God's got something for everybody. In every aspect of your life, God's got you covered. Just not certain aspects, but every aspect. You see, we live in a world that's absolutely chaotic right now. You turn on the news, and it makes you want to throw the TV out on the front lawn. Amen? Now, I like Netflix, so I won't throw my TV out on the front lawn. Because I like my Netflix every now and then. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you always got to watch your series and your shows, and you ever binge watch? Anybody ever binge watch? Me and Kendra, when we get time by ourselves, that's our thing to do, is we like to binge watch shows. Amen? And Paw Patrol. I'm going to tell you why. You know what's funny? Today the kids went upstairs. That's where they sleep. Because their bedrooms are in their playroom and stuff's upstairs. Kids are upstairs playing. And me and Kendra were downstairs. And the kids were downstairs before us, and they had Disney Channel on. So me and Kendra sat in the living room, and we're watching TV. And all of a sudden, I realized, I looked at Kendra, I said, Kendra, we're still watching the Disney Channel. She's like, yeah, we are. Oh, well, we stayed watching the Disney Channel. I don't know what that's all about, it's a side note. But anyhow, but you know, we can get so caught up in things and the trouble that's going on in the world that it can really start to affect us and we start getting down. You know, this last little while, there's been a lot of this racial garbage on the go, and it just kind of makes me sick to my stomach seeing that there's so much hate in the world still. You know, you think we've come so far, but the fact of the matter is we live on an earth with a curse, and people think that they know everything, and they use that 6 inches of space that's between their ears, and they get in a lot of trouble with that little thing that's in there. Yeah. Amen? And so, unfortunately, they think that they have it all figured out. And that, you know, it's like, well, I'm better than this person, or this person said this, and blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, it's a big confussal, and, you know, it's all this crazy stuff falling apart. Well, the fact of the matter is that we need to find out who we are in Christ and realize that we don't have to know everything and realize that we don't have to try and figure everything out because it's already been done for us, amen? Because God's promises are yes and amen. So whatever God already said, it's already done, and it's going to come to pass through Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me tonight? You see, God designed us to live a supernatural life. A life that is blessed. A life that is more than enough. Come on now. God did not design us to be broke, disgusted. But yet we still choose to wallow there sometimes. It's so easy to have pity parties. Oh, woe is me. I got this problem today. I got that problem. Or this. My goodness. Was there anything good? No. Well, come on now. You got to find something good. You got to find something good. And it's so easy to get sidetracked and get your focus off the prize and focus on the right now and the situation at hand. And not focus on the victory that's already been taking place in your life. That was all free. That wasn't even in my notes. So anyhow, our text tonight is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I have it in three different versions here, so I'm going to pick one. New Living Translation. How's that sound? For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. All God's promises are yes. Are you hearing me? All God's promises are yes. So it doesn't matter what the doctor says, what the bank account says, you know, what's going on around you in the world. What God says is what matters. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Yeah. What the Word of God says is what we go by, not what CNN says. Ooh. Not what Facebook says. Right. It's by what the Word of God says. So God's got a lot of promises in his word. Like I said earlier, he's got promises for every area. In times of trouble, there's all types of promises. And I'm just going to give you a few here. We're going to look at these tonight. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Is that okay? Well, it better be. You're in church. The first scripture I want to give you is found in Psalms chapter 50, verse 15 in the New Living. It says, "Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." That's a promise from God. That when you're in a time of trouble, it doesn't matter what the situation is, that when you call on God, he will rescue you. Amen? Amen? Doesn't matter what it is. It just says there. There's no limits on this. When you're in a time of trouble, God will rescue you. And then he'll use it to glorify him so we can show others on how good God is. Amen? Anybody excited yet? All right, we got four. All right, we got one more. All right, good. Some of you have heard this story before, and it's true. I remember like yesterday. It happened, and it was kind of a scary situation that took place. It happened to a friend of mine, a guy that I grew up with. And we were all a bunch of young guys, and we were all commercial fishermen at the time, and he was on another fishing vessel. And our boat, we were in port, we were doing some work on the boat, and the call came across to a VHF, across the big set radio, and that there was a fire on board this fishing vessel. And so, well, automatically, we stopped what we were doing, and we went to go listen to him to see what the situation was and who it was. Well, when we found out who it was, this boat belonged to my uncle. And I knew all the guys that were on board this vessel, not a small boat, it was a fairly large boat. A fire had broken out, and it was moving from the stern to the stem of the boat at a very rapid pace, extremely quick. And one of my buddies was on this boat. He's only a young guy at the time. I wouldn't say he was even 20 when this took place. And when this happened, so they never had time to really do anything, so they managed to get their big survival suits. You've seen those big orange suits that you have to put on when they do muster things on boats. And so we're trained in to do that. We actually had to go to school to learn how to put those things on. And so the skipper went and grabbed all of them. Well, he thought he grabbed all of them. So when they got out, as long as they could, they waited as long as they could to get on the bow of the boat, and then the heat was breaking the glass in the front of the boat. And they're only standing like feet away. So now all of a sudden, they realized that they were short one survival suit. So my buddy, being who he was a husky boy, and all the guys were around him, and the skipper was going to actually say, "No, here, you take my suit." And he said, "No." He said, "You take it, I'll be fine." Deep down inside, he knew that he was probably not going to survive, because you're in the North Atlantic, and the water temperature is cold, very cold. Like, I've been in the North Atlantic scuba diving, and I remember the day that I went scuba diving, the water temperature was only about 3 degrees. That's cold. And so here you are, 70 plus miles off of land, and you're getting ready to jump overboard, and all you got tied around you is one of those inflatable buoys, while everyone else got these survival suits. But Michael knew that he had a bit of a better chance of survival than what the other guys did. He was a bit bigger, younger, higher metabolism, whatever. He figured, he processed all this. He figured, but deep down, it was still slim to none. So they jumped in the water. They couldn't wait any longer, so the guys all gathered around them. And they were in the water for quite a while. 45 minutes passed. It was about an hour. And all of a sudden, they heard a sound in the distance. And when they looked up, here was their salvation coming, man. This beautiful helicopter. And as this helicopter came in, Michael looked at the guys and he said, "Boys, you wouldn't mind if I go first, do you?" "Not at all, son, not at all." They loaded him into the basket, brought him in, and got him into the nice warm cab of that helicopter. You see, you look at the scientists and all the scientific facts, Michael should have only lasted about 15 minutes in that water. But now Michael, he come from a good Christian background, and he had praying mamas and grandmamas and all that good stuff. But you see, salvation came that day, and he survived because that helicopter came and those rescue guys came and they plucked him out of the water. They made a cry on the radio for help. You see, if there was no cry for help, nobody would have known. If there was no word spoken, nobody would have known that there was an issue. If they wouldn't have called for help, help would not have come. You see, guys, when we're in the time of need, we need to cry out to God.
Amen.
Because just like that helicopter that's going to come with those rescuers, and they're going to pluck you out of the water, and they're going to save you, God does the exact same thing. He picks you up out of the filth and the mire and the fire and the freezing cold, whatever the situation may be. You see, this is a promise from God. No matter what the situation is, God's got you. Isn't that exciting? Knowing that you have that salvation. That it doesn't matter how far away you are, all you got to do is call the name of Jesus. That's what Scripture says right there. Woo! So my friend, if you're going through an issue tonight, you got a problem in your life, quit trying to do it on your own. Quit going to Dr. Phil. Come on now. Go to Dr. Jesus and he's going to take care of it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, once we become born again, our old past dies. We're not that person that we used to be. We're not that person that used to do drugs or drink, lie, cheat, steal, do whatever. We aren't that person anymore. Because we are a new creation in Christ. You hearing me tonight? Now sometimes it takes a little bit of work. Because if the Word of God says that's who I am, that means I got to start acting that way. Because it's one thing to accept the change, to say, "Okay, Father God, come in my heart," and accept salvation. But it's another thing to act the change. Come on now. Funny, you know, you can know Scripture. The devil even knows Scripture. Doesn't mean that he's born again now, does it? Doesn't mean he's going to heaven. You can go through the motions all you want, but unless you got that actual relationship with the Father, and unless that you're actually connected up and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're putting on that survival suit. Come on now. Scripture calls it the full armor of God. And when you're putting on that full armor of God, and Scripture says you'll be able to withstand the attacks of the devil. You hear me? It doesn't say that you'll just be able to barely get by. You'll be able to withstand. When you withstand something, is that no matter what's coming at you, you're still there. You put on your big boy pants, and you stand. When the devil throws something at you, you stand. Come on now. Here's another promise from God. Psalm 61:3. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemy." God promised us to be our shelter. You're going to hear a lot of fishing stories and boat stories tonight. Why? Because I'm from Newfoundland and I'm a fisherman, praise God. There's many stories from back home about years ago, and they never had big fancy boats and all this fancy navigation equipment and stuff like they have today. But I remember my grandmother telling me stories of the old guys when they would go out in boat, and all of a sudden this storm would come up. Well, what would they do? They would go and find shelter in a sheltered harbor somewhere. They wouldn't stay out in the storm. See, a lot of times we choose to stay out in a storm. Get out, you foolish, or what? These guys would get out of the storm. They would get their vessels in. They'd anchor into a safe port somewhere. They'd go in and tie up, go land in a beach, wait for the storm to blow over. You see, we run to Jesus. No matter what storm is going to, we run to Jesus. We don't run away. But a lot of times we put on our running shoes and we pretend we're Usain Bolt and we're running away from Jesus. I've had conversations this past summer with people and they've had this problem, this issue, that. Like, well, why haven't you been in church? Well, this is the reasons why, all these problems. What? I know when I got issues and I got problems, where do I go to? I go to Jesus, man. I'm going to get in church. I'm going to stomp on the devil's head. I'm going to shout and scream and dance and do whatever it needs to do to tell the devil he's a liar and make a liar out of him. Come on now. Well, I don't know. I got this going on and this going on. You know, I just don't feel like going to church. Yeah, well, we don't go by feelings. Because if we went by feelings, half of us wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Amen? Y'all know how much I love my pillow. We've had this conversation before. I have a name on my pillow. It's called Deep Prayer. So if you call the house and Kendra says, Steve's in Deep Prayer, you know where I am. But you know what? It's nice to be comfortable, isn't it? But you know what? A lot of times we can get comfortable with the pain. A lot of times we can get comfortable with the turmoil. And we kind of adjust our lifestyle and our living and what we believe and all those things. And we mold it around the situation and not what the outcome, what God had ordained it to be. You know? It's like, you know, walking with a limp, you know? Well, then you would adjust that limp. You know, you got a splinter or something in your foot and you walk with a limp because you got a nail or something drove up your foot. You know? I've drove a nail up my foot. It doesn't hurt. And you do walk with a limp, especially if the nail stays in there, you know? So if you're walking around with that nail stuck in your foot and you got that limp there, you know, and you adjust the way you walk and the way you live, you know, you can't play soccer anymore. You can't really drive anymore. You can't really walk anymore because you got a silly nail stuck in the bottom of your foot. You know what's silly? You got the nail stuck in the bottom of your foot. And so you're adjusting your lifestyle in the way that you know what you need to do is rank that sucker out of there. Come on now. Get the situation. Yank it out of there. And you got to do the work. You got to change something. You don't change the way you live based on a circumstance. You base the way you live on the way that God had intended you to be. But a lot of times we choose to go the opposite. Let's keep going here. Is this good? Psalms 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. How many of you have ever had times of trouble in here? Some of you have never had trouble? I don't think I should have an altar call right now for lawyers or something. I'm really not sure where to go with this right now. Let's try this again. How many people in here has had troubles? A few of you changed your minds now. Okay. All right. Scripture says, let your yes be yes. You know me, no. Make up your mind, for heaven's sakes. We've all experienced some sort of trouble. But once again, it's up to us on how we handle that and where we go to for trouble. We can either dive into it and keep getting into trouble. And a lot of times that's what we tend to do. We try and fix things on our own, so we think, and we find ourselves getting deeper and deeper and keep digging the hole and keep digging the hole. And then when you think we can't dig the hole any deeper, well, someone hands us a shovel and tells us to keep going. You ever been there? Yeah. No fun now, is it? But you see, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. So if we're oppressed, we got issues going on, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling sad, you're feeling whatever, for whatever reason, the Lord is your refuge. You can find peace in God. Yeah. I've had lots of opportunity, and I haven't really talked to anyone about this, so I'm going to be very candid here tonight. Is that okay? I haven't really talked to anybody about this. But I have had issues and struggle in my past with anxiety. And it could really be, I've woken up in the middle of the night and freaking out. It's no fun. It's no fun. But you know what's awesome? Is that after I have my little pity fit, I realize, wait a minute, I don't have to deal with this. Scripture says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. So why do I have to be waking up when I love to sleep? I love my pillow. Amen? Why am I going to let something interrupt one thing that I really love? Amen? Come on now. This might sound kind of silly, but it's true. And think about different things that in your life that's interrupted your life. And it doesn't need to interrupt your life. So when you're dealing with stuff, you run to God. You run to Jesus. Why? Because he is our refuge. He will help us. He will give you what you need to get through. Amen? Pastor Steve, you're foolish. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that God is so awesome that he does not want one of his kids to be hurting, to be broke, to be oppressed, to be depressed, to be sick. None of that. And the cool thing is that he's placed the ball in our court, and it's up to us on what we want to do with it. Are we going to play ball? Or are we just going to let it roll away? There's also promises in Scripture about family. Amen? In point number 87, we find in Psalm 103, 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. So from you, your children, your children's children, your children's children's children, your children's 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 children, and then their children after that. Why? Because God loves us, and that's the way it is. Is that the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Doesn't matter who, what, where, why, or how. Doesn't matter. It's available. The mercy is there. All we have to do is just receive the mercy. Just take it. Ask for it, and we receive. Amen? That's good to know that God loves us so much. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon their offspring. So what is that talking about there? Blessings. On where you are right now, and everybody that's connected to you hereafter. And you're not listening to me right now. Lord, the Lord's blessings right now that's on you is going to go continue on in your family. Why? Because that's the way God is. Your kids are going to be blessed. Your grandkids are going to be blessed. Your great-grandkids are going to be blessed because you started it. You choose that. This life is just not about you. Your decisions is just not about you. You see, a lot of times we get into selfish thinking. We think it's only about me. I'm being real here tonight. How good can I get for myself, you know? Or, you know, how woe is me? I'm just as selfish as anyone else in here. Because a lot of times that's the way we think. Well, you know what? We need to adjust our thinking. Because it's not about us. Come on now. It's about affecting those around us and those that we have not seen yet. I shared a video, was it yesterday or today, about a very prominent wrestler. This guy, I don't really watch wrestling. I'm more of a UFC guy. Okay? I'm excited for the big fight coming up on Saturday. Anyone else going to be watching that fight? I think the Lord's saying, no, I can't say that. Never mind. But I think the Irishman is going to do good. Amen? But anyhow, this wrestler, he's got a slogan. And this guy's got a pretty cool history. If you read up on him and see what he was and what he's done, man, this guy is pretty cool. His name is John Cena. Okay? John Cena. This guy's pretty awesome. And he's got a slogan, and the slogan is, never give up. Well, I started watching this, and it kind of got me really intrigued, because I've known about John Cena. I've liked what he's done. I've seen some of the stuff, and, you know, he's a pretty cool dude. But this is where his fans were actually giving back to him, and he didn't even know it. And they started giving their testimonies on how he influenced them to never give up in tough times. One little boy came, and he was at a wrestling match, and John Cena took off one of his arm bracelets or arm bands that he's got there, and he handed it to his little boy. He didn't know that little boy. He didn't really realize that boy was there. He just took it off and gave it to him. Next thing he knows, he's in this studio, and this little boy is here with him. And the little boy tells a story about how his mother was diagnosed with cancer. And that through that whole ordeal, the little boy told his mom to never give up. She says, he goes, Mom, John says never give up. And he actually had that wristband. And he had his mom hold on to it while she was going through her cancer. And she never gave up. And she's alive today and doing well. And so being able to testify and say, look, John, your words encourage this little boy so that he can encourage his mother. And then there was all types of other people as well. One guy was in an accident, and the doctor said he'd be paralyzed. He'd never wrestle again. A young guy. And now he's back wrestling, he's walking around and running because he never gave up. Come on now. You see, the influence that this guy had, you don't realize that as long as you're being positive, you're influencing somebody. If you're being negative, you're influencing somebody. I want to be the type of person that's going to positively influence somebody. Because my kids are watching me. Eventually, I'll have grandkids. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know, though. Ben and Abby, I don't know. Abby's not allowed to date till she's 40. Yes, I'm one of those crazy dads. I have a shotgun collection. I do. I really do. But it's the people around me that I want to affect. The people that's not around me that I don't even know, that they see me passing by, I want to affect. The guy in the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, the way that I greet him. Amen? You see, this is the way that we're supposed to be reacting. So that we're influencing people around us. Now, there's also promises in Scripture about how to deal with fear as well. Is this still good?
Yes.
No one's left yet. But, of course, we got the doors locked, so you couldn't get it if you wanted to. Exodus 14:14. Don't tell the fire marshal. I'm joking. The Lord shall fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. I really like this scripture because it's so simple. Because it says the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. So when you got somebody that's going to go to bat for you, you get to rejoice in the victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen? The Lord will fight for you. So when you're going through fear, anybody ever have fear in their lives? Be honest here now. You've had issues in your lives with fear, stuff like that. It's no fun now, is it? I don't like fear one bit. No, I have a fear of fear. I'm joking, no. But I don't like fear. You know, some people, they get a thrill out of that. I don't know what's wrong with people. Crazy. But you know what? The Lord will fight for you. But once again, we have to do something. We got to make sure that our lives is lining up. And we're walking in what God has set before us. And we're doing what God wants us to do. Because if we do what we're supposed to be doing, God's going to do what he's supposed to be doing. It's taken, like Pastor Hagin says, it's taken a supernatural force and a natural force, mixed them together, making an explosion for God. And that's what happens. You take God and you, and you shake it all together, boom, like that. See? Some of you, I just woke you all up. Eyes just got big up in here. Whoa, Holy Ghost, what? Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Guys, we don't have to go through life being scared of stuff. And we don't have to go through life being all broken, disgusted, and feeling like we can't go on. The Lord is our strength. He's our salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the devil's knocking on your door and he's trying to throw all these things at you, you got to show up at the front door with the baseball bat of Jesus. Devil, me and you are going to go a few rounds here now, buddy. Oh, by the way, God's on my side. John Cena's a good wrestler. Conor McGregor's a good fighter. But Jesus, he already kicked the devil's butt. It's already been done. So we got to understand something. That when the devil tries and raises his ugly head at us, we got to know that we're fighting against a defeated foe. He's already had his tail whipped. He's trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. He's trying to raise his ugly head. But guess what? I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You win. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. Nothing. When God is for me, who can be against me? God even promises the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon some flesh? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in the last days. I believe that we are in the last days. Yeah. How do you know? Well, about 20 minutes ago, man, the Holy Spirit was moving in here, and he's still moving right now. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. See, how many of you are all in here? All of us. We're all. The Holy Spirit, God's going to pour out his blessings, his anointing upon you if you're ready to receive it. Just not some of us, all of us. And we're all going to receive that. We're all going to get in there. And guess what? He's doing it now. It's just up to us to receive it. Come on, Father, just drench me. You know? That's like it is. You go outside, we've had some pretty crazy rainstorms the last little while. You know? I like a nice rainstorm. When it's nice and hot and sticky outside, you go outside and get the nice cool rain on you. That's awesome. Well, think about it. When life is hot and sticky on you, and you get into the presence of God, and you get that Holy Spirit rain falling down on you, there's nothing more refreshing than that. And Scripture says that God is going to pour it out on each and every one of us. Amen? And then make the best of it. It's going to be poured out on all of us. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We're going to see our children speak words of life. Come on. Your young men shall see visions. Come on now. You young guys that are up in here, that includes me, we're going to see things. God's going to reveal stuff onto us. Come on. You old men will dream dreams. Come on. Pastor Dave, you're going to have a good dream tonight, buddy, old guy. Sweet dreams. Hallelujah. Going to see things that God wants to reveal to us. Come on, it's happening right now. Woo! I'm preaching myself happy. You can come with me if you want to or not. It's up to you. God also promises finances and jobs as well. Isn't that good? Oh, we got some people excited. We're starting talking about money. Come on now. Amen. The Lord shall open, Deuteronomy 28, 12, and it says, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. You got an okay treasure, and then you got a good treasure. And I'm going after that good treasure, okay? None of this Pirates of the Caribbean garbage. I'm talking about some good treasure. I mean, what God's got. It's got to be good, because think about it. The streets of heaven are paved with gold. And now, if what they walk on is gold, how much better is the treasure that God has for us? Mind blown. What the heck do he have for us? Oh, boy. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. What does that mean? You're going to be the bank of Jesus, man. I'm serious. The work that you do right now, some of you in here, you've been doing a lot of working. And you're, well, yeah, I'm doing lots of work. I'm doing lots of work. I'm doing lots of work. When am I going to reap the benefits of it? When am I going to reap the benefits? When am I going to get the benefits? Well, there's always a sowing time. And praise God, there's a growing time. And then there's harvest time. Now, I'm one of those people, I got crop in every season. I got crop that's in sowing, I got crop that's in growing, and hallelujah, I've been reaping. How about you? Now here's the thing, you don't do it for the sake of thinking, well, I'm going to do this, so I'm going to get this back. No, you do this because this is what you want God, you want to see God do something. You want to see God shake up your life. You want to be a blessing so you're able to bless other people. Amen? You know, I've known some very wealthy people. I know some very wealthy people. And some of them are the most miserable people on the face of the planet. They say money can't buy happiness. I guess these guys just aren't buying the right stuff. But in the meantime, have you ever seen a sad person on a snow machine? Miss Deb, have you ever seen a mad guy? When I see Miss Deb on her snow machine, I can see her smile, but under her helmet. Okay? Corey, you can hear him singing the Hallelujah chorus when he's cruising down. Okay? Brother Chris got a side-by-side. If you want to see happier than a pig in mud, Chris looks like a pig in mud when he's on that side-by-side because there's nothing but mud everywhere. And a big smile. And me, I'm the same way, man. When I'm on my snow machine and I'm booting down the trails, hallelujah. Right? And to me, that's a blessing of God. Amen? Do I need a sled? No. Yes. Do I need to go fishing in a boat? Yeah. Not really. I don't need those things, but the Lord loves me so much that he supplied them. I got a big faith project now, and me and Kendra, Kendra laughs at me when I say this, but she's in agreement too because she likes them. But we're going to wait till the kids get a little bit older. And I mean older, I mean out of the house so daddy and mommy can enjoy this. But I've had this thing, this desire in my heart for a very, very, very long time. And not because I need it. Not because, you know, it makes sense. But just because I just want to get a ticket for excessive acceleration. I want a Porsche, or a Porsche, whatever you want to call it, 911 Turbo. I want a Porsche 911 Turbo. And you guys know what I'm talking about. The twin is good too. I'll settle for one, but I'll take two. And that's, now eventually that's going to be the ice cream getter. That's what's going to get me back and forth to church on a Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, and that's not just to brag and say I got all this. Oh, no, no, no. That's just because that's just a desire of my heart. And one of these days, me and Kendra, we're going to have our ice cream getter. That's what it is, the ice cream getter. Amen? And don't look at me like that, because you all got desires like that too. Amen? Amen? Some of you guys are a little crazier than what I am. My dad, he's just plain nuts. He wants, you guys ever heard of a Lotus? Yeah, he's got his heart set on a Lotus, and he's got pictures of them everywhere. And I'm like, Dad, you're nuts. He's like, well, you want a Porsche? I'm like, yeah, touche. Very good. You know? But, you know, you got to have those things. You can have that. And it's not just to boast and say, look what I got. It's to say, look what God got me. That's right. And the thing is don't be connected to it. Because God told me to give it away, all right. I know that's kind of crazy, but yeah. If God told me today to give my snow machine away, I'd have to leave the church. No, I'm joking. I'd go to Corey's and give Corey's away. If the Lord told me, I'd be obedient. And I'd say, thank you for my new sled, Father. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a biblical principle right there. Because the Lord, Pastor Rome has given away vehicles. And he's driving around in vehicles today. He's not walking. Hallelujah. I've given away some boats and give away some different stuff. All types of weird stuff, actually, I've given away. What was I thinking? But anyway, I've given away stuff. And the Lord has brought it back to me in different ways. That's why when you're dealing with finances and you're dealing with jobs, you got to continue to be sowing. Every time the offering plate goes by, that's not because we need money here. That's because we want to bless God and be able to do more work. Yeah, I said do more work. Because that's what the kingdom of God is, building up the kingdom of God. When we're building up the kingdom of God, we're doing work. We're doing stuff. It costs money. The gospel is free, but it costs money to send it. Unfortunately, we live on a place where we got taxes, we got grocery bills, we got light bills, we got equipment costs. We got all those things. And this all indirectly affects the gospel. If your pastors don't eat, they're not going to be able to preach. Don't judge me. Some of us eat a little bit more than others. We'll get off this. Sorry. Matthew 6:33. You still having a good time? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love that promise. Because you go after the things of God first, then all these things will be added. You know, that's one thing that I can, the only way I can think of the way that God is blessing me and that God provides for my family is the fact that I'm doing what he's called me to do. Because in all reality, I don't make a big pile of money. But I've got to say, me and my wife and our family, we're doing okay. We're doing good. Like I said, we've never missed a bill payment. We've never been late on anything. We don't owe no man, no stuff. The debt we got is good debt. It's like mortgage and stuff. Right? It's not like I got tens of thousands of dollars worth of credit card debt. And if it was just me, I'd probably spend it all on snow machines. But I don't have that. God is supplying for me and providing for me. It's hilarious. I was out here the other day, and yesterday actually, we're pruning up a tree. Me and Benjamin were pruning the tree out front there. Two people walked by with job opportunities for us. And I'm just minding my own business, doing the Lord's work, cutting down branches. And then a lady walked by, she says, you're the guy that plows the snow for the church, right? I'm like, oh, great, what have I done? What'd they hit? She's like, well, there's going to be times this winter coming, I think I might need you. She's like, are you able to do my driveway too? I'm like, sure. Half hour later, another lady walked by with her little dog, and she seen what I'm doing. She said, can you drop trees? I said, me and my buddy can drop trees. She goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, me and my buddy, yeah, we can do all that stuff. And I got a friend who'll be unnamed, and he's my, I'm his right-hand man, and he's my right-hand man. Some of you might know who it is. But I'm like, yeah, sure, we can do it. She's like, well, you got a number or something? I'm like, yeah, sure. Here, I gave her my number. She's like, okay, I'll be calling you. So, buddy, we might have a job to do in a couple weeks' time, just so you know. I should have told you earlier, but you find out during a message. That's okay. But you see, it's just little things like that. It's not like I'm going to have. God provides. I like what Brother Robbie says. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. They just went through a crazy building thing down there at Teen Challenge. And as far as I'm concerned, they have one of the most beautiful shops in Thunder Bay right now. Right? And that's all to the glory of God. Isn't that right? You know, it looks like a very high-end thrift store, because it is a very high-end thrift store. It's almost boutique-ish. And I don't even know what boutique-ish means. See, when you come to church, you don't know what you're going to get, okay? When Pastor Roman disappears and Pastor Ken disappears, this is what you're stuck with. I'm sorry, all right? I am sorry. You know, I'm doing my best here, okay? Oh. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you go after the things of God, God is going to make sure that you're blessed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things. So then after the fact, when you start doing what he wants you to do, you're in church, you're praising, you're worshiping, you're crawling around on the floor with the babies, you're mopping the floor, you're scrubbing toilets, you're preaching, you're teaching, you're doing whatever. When you're doing what God has called you to do, then all these things shall be added onto you. Then you're going to reap the benefits. A lot of times, Lord, bless me now and I'll do your work later. If you can find a job where you get paid first and work later, sign me up. I'll take all the overtime and everything. Don't be caught by those things. Buy now, pay later. Yeah, right. Interest rate of 35%. Okay. If you can find something like that and it works out for you, hallelujah, you're something special. But you have to do the work. Pastor Rome has been doing the work for a long time. And he's not here tonight, but I'm going to tell you, he's still got more work to do. The Lord's not finished with Pastor Rome yet. And he's been at it for how many years? 30 years? This is going on my 8th, 9th? Oh boy, I got a lot of time to do yet. Whew. I figured I'm in it for at least 50 to life. I got a life sentence here. But that's okay, because I rather do the will of God. And if that's all it is for me is to scrub the floors, I'm fine with that. As long as I'm in the will of God, I know that he's going to continue to bless me. And he's going to continue to provide for me. I'll never go without. My family will never go without. And we will always have a roof and clothes on us. Amen? And not only that, we just won't survive. We're going to thrive. Because we're King's kids. And like I said, if the streets of heaven are paved with gold, how much more is God going to bless me? Think about it. Think about it. My Lord, does this never end? Every time I turn a page, I thought it was the last page, but it's not. I'll give you a couple more, okay? Is this still good? You enjoying these promises? Guidance. God promises to give us guidance. In Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct thee and touch thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So when we don't know, so I instruct you and will teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. God's going to show you what you need to do. God's going to instruct us. If you don't know how to do it, he'll show you. Let me let you in on a little secret here. When I came here from Rhema, the only camera experience that I had was that I was a camera operator at Rhema Bible Church. And I mean, I stood there and I moved buttons and I chased people around. Okay? When I first started there, I really didn't have much of a production background in lighting or cameras or anything of that sort. It's something I never had. Or I didn't know that I had it, I should say. But when I got to Rhema, I kind of got a little interested in that type of stuff, and so I started, helping out a little bit here and there. And then when I got here, I got thrusted into it with this little thing called Spirit of Life. And praise God, It actually blows my mind. I'm not bragging about me, but I'm going to brag about God right now, that God was able to use this little fishing boy who knew mostly about fishing nets and drag gear and, you know, all that type of fun stuff, and completely swapped his mind over so I can look at a camera and I can tell you what it is, how it works, and what it's doing right now. I can tell you on how to hook all this up. Me and Varian, you know, we work together on a lot of these projects, and we build all these things. We set all this up, all this lights and stuff. We program it all. I didn't know what the heck was all about, but the Lord gave me the ability to do that, to learn. I had to do the work, but I'm able to be a blessing. And I've just haven't only helped out Spirit Alive, but I've had call from other churches across Canada saying, hey, Steve, can you help us out with this? How do you do this? Yeah, sure, this is how you do it. You see, God blessed me with knowledge and wisdom. It's just not financial blessing either. But he was guiding me and showing me back then what I would be doing so I can help other people. What are you doing? Are you impacting people? Ooh. Promises for health. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Are healed. Doesn't mean that we're going to be. We might be. Sometime. Maybe. Means we are. Done. Finished. You're healed.
It is finished.
We're good. Isn't that exciting? Now, it's a little too quiet in this Pentecostal church right now. Because I'm going to tell you what. Your healing is now. Your healing is done. Like I already said, we're fighting against a defeated foe. He's already done. You have the victory. Come on now. Amen. Everyone stand on your feet. I'm going to ask the music team to come back. I got umpteen more points. Well, we'll get it some other time. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
Hallelujah.
That last song you guys were singing. We are healed. It's done. Come on now. See, all these promises that I've talked about, and there's many, many more. I mean, we could be talking here until Jesus comes back about the promises. Amen? Well, that's exciting. But you know what? Every one of those promises apply to me and you. Every one of those promises, the answer is yes and amen. Every one of those situations that you have in your life is covered by the blood of Jesus. Every doubt, every bit of fear, every bit of sickness, every bit of family trouble, every bit of financial issue is covered by the blood of Jesus. Come on now. We are not designed to suck at life. We are not designed to be down. I've said this right from day one, and I'm going to declare it again today. Teen Challenge Thrift Store will be the most successful thrift store in Thunder Bay. Why? Because these guys are doing what God's called them to do. And because the Word of God made promises about Robbie and to Robbie. And whatever he touches will be blessed. I pick on Robbie, I can pick on him. He's my brother, I can do that. But each and every one of us in this place, we can apply these things to our lives so that our lives will be changed, transformed, renewed, and we can walk in the fullness of life. I'm done playing second fiddle, man, to life. I'm done living that second-rate life. I want to walk into victory tonight. I want to walk in the promises of God. There's an old song we used to sing in church years ago, Standing on the Promises. Standing, standing, standing up. You know what I'm talking about. I grew up in Pentecostal church. I remember we used to sing that all the time, Standing on the Promises. Actually, my grandmother, I had a bedroom in her house, and in the bedroom she had this little music box. It had a little wheel on it with the little spikes on it. You know what I'm talking about? You wind that sucker up, and when you'd open the lid, that's the song that it would play. And inside that little box, it was full of the promises of God. And quite often my grandmother would come in with me and she'd say, Steve, let's read a promise together. And so she would take one out and she would read it to me. And this little song would be going as we're reading. And so even from a little boy, that was instilled into me that God has promises for my life. God has promises for you. So no matter what the situation is, no matter what the enemy is trying to do to you or say to you, the promises of God are yes and amen. So in times of trouble, God's got you. In times of sickness, God's got you. In financial issues, God's got you. If you're in this place tonight, and you got issues, you got problems, and you need that little extra oomph in your life, you need that little extra power, you need someone to pray with you and agree with you, you want to get back on track, you want to make sure that that you're applying the promises of God to your life. If you just want to surrender all to Jesus right now, if you want to make sure that you're on track, that you're equipped, if that's you, this altar is open right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place tonight and you say, well, Pastor Steve, that's crazy what you're talking about. I really like it. But you know what? I need to have that relationship with Jesus. I need to know who Jesus is. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, and you want to have that strong relationship with the Father, if that's you and you need Jesus in your life, I want you to slip your hand up right now if that's you. If you want to dedicate everything over to Jesus tonight, come on. I never like to close a service without doing this. Or you say, well, Pastor Steve, I need the Holy Spirit alive in me. I want that Spirit poured out upon me. If that's you, you need the Holy Spirit alive in you. Come on, you can raise your hand right now too. Come on. Anybody in this place? Or if you're in this place, like I said earlier, you want to be brought back onto God, you want to have the promises alive in your life, come on, is there anybody, raise your hands right now if that's you. If that's you, yep, thank you for your hand. Anybody else? You want to get back on track with God? Come on. Come on. I know there's more of you in here. Hallelujah. There is power. There is power. Just sing that chorus real quick, dear girls. You guys, just worship Him right now. I can't move on. Just worship Him right now.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Now just listen to these words right here.
To break every chain. Break
That's
every
right.
Chain, break every chain.
These promises is going to do that. There's power in the name of Jesus. And that's a promise from God to break every chain. So if you're in this place right now and you got chains, you got bondage, you got stuff that you can't get rid of, you need help getting rid of, I don't care what it is. Tonight's a great night to get rid of it. Man, I can feel the Holy Spirit right now just ministering, just talking. He's flowing through this place. Girls are going to sing that. As the girls start singing, if that's you, I want you to make your way up here. All right? I want you to make your way up here. No one's going to judge you, but we're going to pray for you. We're going to bless you. Come on now. Break every chain. Here we go. Let's go. Come on. If that's you, get up here.
In the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, sing it again. Come on, church.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, there's more people got to be up here.
There is power.
You're dealing with fear, sickness.
Jesus.
Come on, get up here.
There is power.
Depression, oppression. Death, whatever you're dealing with, come on.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
God is so good. It doesn't matter what the situation is, we win. Doesn't matter what trouble we've gotten into in the past. Doesn't matter what issues we might think we're facing right now. God is with us. God's getting us through it. As a matter of fact, God's already completed the task. We're just a little slow catching up. Just stretch your hands towards my sister here. Father God, you see what's going on and you see each situation. And so, Father God, we just thank you right now for your blessings, your power, the peace of mind, your healing power. Father God, we just thank you. Whoa. Father God, we just thank you for all your promises are yes and amen. That we win. We know the outcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah! 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Robbie, can you come here? The Lord just dropped the word. You see, what you just done was good. But what you're going to do next is going to be even greater. And he said there's going to be some more struggles. There's going to be some more heartache, a little bit more pain. But he said, he's got you no matter what. And whatever's happening next, he said, he's got you completely covered 100%. And that he is going to provide, and he's going to do things that you never thought possible, and that those around you never thought possible. This next phase or whatever it is, it's going to be something that's going to be outrageous. And God wants you to know that he is with you 100%. He just wants you to completely rely on him. Oh, she under the robo, CTT under the robo, sokototo. He under the robo, she under the robo, satatata. Yes, yes. Yeah, you're going to be influencing more people. A lot more people. Lots of big changes coming, Robbie. He under the robo, she under the robo, satatata. Boom! Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, boy, I didn't mean to go that long tonight. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But isn't the Lord good? All God's promises are what? Yes and amen. Well, you guys have a fantastic night. You are dismissed.